Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Come, thou Almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father, all glorious, over all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Reading from Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then came out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abram to our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's give thanks for these words that have been fulfilled in John the Baptist, also fulfilled in Christ when he came. As John said, he would come. Give thanks and pray that we understand it rightly. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come through him who is alone, the Savior of sinners, whose name alone by which we can be saved. Thou hast given him the name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. We give thanks for that. He has saved us from the punishment of sin, paid that price on the cross, both dying and shedding his blood. Also, we give thanks through him there can be a new life. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. Father, we have to confess too often that we have been left in the way of the flesh and gone back to the way of the flesh, yet we know there is hope in Christ, and our hope only in him, both in his death and his shed blood, and also his resurrection power. And there is no other hope but in him. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt now lead us through him and because of him, as thou didst give the apostles understanding of the scriptures, the day of thy resurrection, thou wilt give us understanding of the scriptures, also that we might not only be hearers of them, but we might be doers of the word, as thou hast called us to repent, to believe, to be baptized, to obey. And especially we pray that once again there might be more of that faith that worketh by love. We pray for it in our individual lives. We pray for it in our homes. We pray for it in our churches. And we pray that the churches may be such again that there will be a salt and a light to the rest of the nation as well. We pray that there may be awakening. We know, Father, that we are in danger of judgment. The terrible sins that we have in our midst, denying thee as creator in so many places and murdering the unborn, that we are in line for judgment, but we pray for mercy. And we pray there might yet be a time that we will humble ourselves before thee, and there may be a time of repentance and a time that thy judgment will be withheld, which we do fear will come. That sin of murdering the unborn and the sin of murdering the innocent cannot be pardoned and was not pardoned in Judah. We fear it will not be pardoned in us either. And we pray that we might see that terrible sin and repent of it, and that it soon might be lessened, that there might be more of the children born rather than to be murdered in their mother's womb. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are. We pray for the sick that there might be healing, for the hungry that they might be fed, those who have plenty might give to those who are in need. We pray for the war-torn nations. We pray for those that are suffering yet from the earthquake, those that are suffering for the tornado and the hurricanes, all the suffering that there is in the world, the many injured, the many homeless, the many in sorrow. We pray for all of them, for thy comfort and thy leading for them, but especially that thou wilt make all of us to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that all these things would be added. We ask it all through and only in the name of Christ. Amen. As we read here of John the Baptist, we also read, "One cometh after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." How often I've been the chaff that could have been burnt, but God, through Christ, can make us to be the wheat. He can change us. That comes by his call to us to repent and to believe the gospel. Both are needed. There is a repentance that's needed to humble us. Many think of repentance as turning from sin, outward sins, and turning to a better way, and certainly that is included in the need to repent. John the Baptist was calling to them then, and we can also see in other scriptures what he told them to do. And there were outward things, but I think we might say that one of the very heart of repentance is to be humbled before God, to come away from our self-righteousness, to know that we need Christ's righteousness. We are today, many in the church, much like those that Paul spoke of when he said of his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh, they were the ones establishing their own righteousness. And many in the church and many in our nation are probably doing that. They believe they are God's children. They believe they are Christians, but Christians by their own works rather than that of Christ. Many born of the church believe that they only have to continue to be that, and they are much in the same way as those that John the Baptist had to reprove and say, "Say not within yourselves, we have Abram to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." There's much of the teaching today that is called covenant children, and probably the Abrahamic covenant that God said to the descendants of Abraham when he instituted to Abraham the covenant of circumcision, "I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee," not thinking of the limit of the promise there, "I will give thee the land." That was what was promised to all of Abraham's seed, but only those that come later and are said by Paul to come to Christ. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the flesh. And so that is the true way of being Abraham's children, only by faith in another, by faith in Christ. And that takes much repentance to lose that covenant theology, to lose that thinking that we're right with God, that we are children of God already. I have been taught that when I was younger, and others as well, that we are children of God, born that way, because we have Christian parents. That's called covenant theology. It is what John the Baptist here spoke against. "Say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." That is true now as well as it was then. Before we can be God's children, there has to be repentance toward God and faith toward Christ. We have to have such repentance that we come from the place of thinking we're right with God to knowing we are lost sinners. Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Lost sinners are the only ones that will be saved. Lost sinners. Christ came to seek and to save them, and he died for them. And that's what he said very plainly. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We need to see that that first thing is repentance, change of our thinking, change of our place before God, change of our relationship with God, change of our relationship even in society. When Paul says, "Are we better than they?" speaking of others, and he says, "In no wise, we have together become unprofitable." And that's true of all of us in the church and in the world. The church may not have as much outward sin as the world, but it consists only of sinners when we're born from our parents. As we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, "To as many as received him," Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, who were born, not of blood, not of the parents, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not by our free will, not even by our own choice, but who were born of God." God makes that calling, and he makes it very plain throughout Scripture. It is very plain when we read Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. First of all, in chapter 1, he speaks of them as God choosing them in Christ before the foundation of the world. Then we see later how it was applied to the people at Ephesus as he speaks to them, declares of them that they were dead in sin. We read in chapter 2, "You who were dead in trespasses and sins, were in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among them also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." This is what Paul speaks to those at Ephesus. There are some that want to say, "Well, that was different than us. different than covenant children. They were of the Gentile world. Yes, so are we. And just because we're born in a church family and born in a Christian home doesn't make us less Gentiles. It doesn't make us less part of the world in ourself than these Ephesians were. After describing them and what they were, then he comes in verse 4 of chapter 2, "But God, who was rich in mercy, for with his great love, for when he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." That's the way God brought those people in Ephesus into the body of Christ. First of all, he planned it. Going back to the first chapter for a moment, reading in verse 4, "According as he chose us in him," in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his good will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted." Paul is writing of what God did, as he said in that fourth verse, "before the foundation of the world." God made that plan. In time, he fulfilled that plan, as we read in the second chapter. "We're dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." As we read the letter to Ephesians, we don't read about baptism here. We do read later whether they received the Holy Spirit and then they were baptized. It refers there in Acts, I think, 19, that they had been baptized in the name of Jesus, and later they were baptized in a fuller baptism. But not much is mentioned here. But baptism is certainly a part of coming back to God and coming to Christ. We see that in, first of all, what we read in John's baptism. It had a very important place, and he baptized those that repented. We read here about the Sadducees and Pharisees. If we read it in the Gospel of Luke rather than Matthew, we had the same story. But there he spoke to the multitude, and he called them a generation of vipers, and that they were to bring forth fruits made for repentance. And then they were baptized. And we have to see that and know that baptism has a place in the life of Christ. We read he was baptized after we read of John the Baptist's ministry. In that third chapter of Matthew, we read, "Further then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answered unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That was the baptism of the Lord Jesus. And earlier, we read about the baptism of John. And we have many other places. Peter baptized on the day of Pentecost when they were convicted in their heart and pricked in their heart of their guilt of having killed the Lord Jesus Christ. After Peter said, God had raised him up to be Lord and Savior, Lord and Christ. Then they were pricked in the heart and asked what they had to do. And he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We have to see that as part of the way. We might say that it is part of the way of repentance because baptism pictures death. That's how Paul describes it when he writes to the church at Rome and reminds them of their baptism and asks them the question in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we can see then, burial is an important part of baptism. Many don't believe that. Many don't practice that. But as we read here, buried with him in baptism, or as we sometimes use the word, immerse. The baptism is immersion. Baptism is buried into the water, and then that pictures dying with Christ or dying with Christ, and that is a very important part, and we must learn that. Baptism is really a picture of our death, the end of our life with ourselves, coming to the end, as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, after he learned his sin, and I died. And that is what happens here when we read, we're buried with him by baptism into death. The old man dies, no hope in self, only a new hope in Christ. That is the picture of baptism, dying to self, having a new life beginning in Christ, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. We see it over and over in Scripture. After Paul was converted, then Ananias asked him, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And when the Ethiopian eunuch was converted, after traveling along the road and Philip joining him, giving him the message from Isaiah of Christ, and the Ethiopian eunuch asking, was the prophet speaking of himself or someone else? And we read how Philip began there to preach unto him Jesus. And after he preached him, they came to water along the way. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Lo, here is water. Philip's answer was, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. His confession was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that with him. There's whole areas of people that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Most of the Jews don't believe that yet, but they must come to believe it. He is the Son of God who became man, took on the form of a man, and went to the death of the cross. The Islamic don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we have two very large groups of people in the world that do not believe he's the Son of God. As the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must believe it with him. That is told us in Scripture over and over. It is a very important part of knowing the whole message of the gospel, which tells us by the mouth of Christ that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we need that today. We are a perishing people. We are perishing in the way of unbelief in a terrible way in our country. We are perishing from the faith of our fathers, not believing that God is our creator. We are by and large denying that, raising instead the theory and the lie of evolution. We do not believe that it is wrong to murder the unborn. A big part of our country, over half of our country, votes for leaders that want to promote the death of the unborn. And we have all of this problem, and it's bringing on more problems. There is a concern over the mental health of the children. We are spending millions of dollars in our state just to deal with it. But there's no answer outside of coming back to God in repentance, humbling ourselves and saying, we are wrong. We must be made right by God's word, by the preaching of it, by the hearing of it, by the believing it. That calls us to rightly know ourselves before God, that we are sinners that are troubled, and we need not just mental health, but we need to live by faith in God. Without that, where's their hope? Is there hope in our society? Is there hope in our country? which is going fast away from God, away from the faith of our fathers? Only when we bring our children back to the way of our Creator, our Lawgiver, our Redeemer in Christ is their hope for their mental health, and we must make it known. We can start by prayer, because so few of us actually believe that the gospel is the answer for the mental health, and we put the two together. Our Congress has designated millions of dollars. Much of that is put in the hand of those in the schools that do not want to consider God's way. They are even sometimes making it worse. There are many of them, probably more of them, that are promoting the way of the transgender for the children than the way of God. When I was young, we learned the Beatitudes in our school. I can remember that very well, the blessing of it, and what a blessing if we learn that today. Let me read them to you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The fullness of the kingdom of God is only after Christ died and rose again. He speaks of that in Luke chapter 22, when he will not eat, when he promotes the Lord's Supper, until the kingdom of God is fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled and was fulfilled in Christ's death and resurrection. That is actually the wonderful blessing of the kingdom of God that takes us from darkness to light, takes us from Satan to God. And that is the answer for children that are troubled with mental health problems, so-called. Part of it is from our broken homes. Part of it is from other reasons. What is taught in the schools, the climate change brings fear to the children. There's going to be a climate change that's going to bring the end of the world. And some of them are in mental health problems because of that. They say they fear and don't want to eat, don't want to sleep over that. The climate change is more political than real. The climate is in God's hand. He says that cold and heat shall not cease. He has promised that. He spoke it to Noah, and it's true. If there is going to be a change, it will be a slight change. God can bring about a change of many degrees in 24 hours. Or 10 hours from cold to hot or hot to cold, all in God's hand. We need to see that, and we need to come back to having the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. We need to know it in that way. If we have the fear of God, we will know ourselves as sinners. And if we know ourselves as sinners rightly in repentance, then we can know Christ as the answer to our sinful problem, our sinful self in Christ. We can be saved, and Christ is our hope alone.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.